Good morning. Good morning, SP. As I was reflecting on the year and how it was coming to an end, I just thought that, I just felt that the message today would be fairly light. It would be something about reflecting for 2019 and 2020 and what's to come. So let's just start in a word of prayer. Father God, Lord, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you that we're approaching 2020, and Lord, we just ask that you bless us in our respective areas, God. I just pray that 2020 will be a year of intimacy with you as body in Christ and individually as members of this church. And I just pray, Lord, that your spirit will just sanctify our thoughts, our words and our deeds, Lord, in 2020. We'll lift these things up to you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I was thinking about 2020, I was thinking, well, what's there to do or what's there to change about 2020? What have I not done? What do I want to do? And I was just reminded of Ecclesiastes, about what has not been done under the sun. What can I do which has not been done before? As we just approach 2020 and we think about things that we could possibly do which is new. And Ecclesiastes clearly says, that which has been done will be done. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? It's not very encouraging, but I felt that there's a significant truth to this, that, after all the striving that we endeavor for, and after all the things that we think that we can do differently, ultimately, there isn't anything inspiring if we don't have God in what we're trying to achieve. So how will 2020 be different for us? Well, it's great that we're entering a season of fasting at Solomon's Porch, and I think that we're all contending for something. If not, we're all also looking forward to, some of us, most of us, are looking forward to the fast, just to really reflect and also to think about how we can grow as members of Christ. So I was thinking of, rather than kind of focusing on external matters, the most important thing is to focus on internal matters, the things that are going on inside of our hearts. And I thought about three things which are fairly important when we start reflecting. And this applies to me as much as people who are listening. And I really wrote this for myself, and I thought I'd share this morning. I think the first thing is gratitude. And gratitude for me is a growing process, and it's a learning process. So before I was a Christian, I always thought gratitude was something where it felt a bit like a downward comparison, where, for example, if I'd go on a mission trip or I'd see someone in a third world country suffering, I would say to myself, well, thank God I am where I am, or someone less fortunate, really I am so blessed that I'm this and this or that and that, and I have this and I have this. But it really isn't that. That really isn't gratitude at all. That is, in fact, is not gratitude. And it's, I would dare to say, it's almost akin to how some of the Pharisees would say, thank God I'm not a dog, that kind of prayer. And I feel that gratitude, in the Christian context, it's about being grateful and appreciating someone. And even as I looked up the Cambridge Dictionary, the definition of gratitude actually says a strong feeling of appreciation to someone or something for what the person has done to help you. And so I think gratitude must be directed at a person. And I think God also created us for Thanksgiving. God created all the things in this world for us to enjoy. The very things that are free in this world are the things that bring us most pleasure. And I think God intended that for us. And we exist because we or God intended us to show appreciation back to God, to show gratitude back to God. And he created us to honor him and in giving thanks in this way. In Romans 1, 21, it says, although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and foolish, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And I think this is a warning about what can happen if we don't maintain an attitude of gratitude, that somehow we will be prone to become futile in our thinking, that our hearts will become foolish naturally. And I think this is also very close to what Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, what they went through. I mean, they were created in a beautiful garden in paradise, effectively. They had everything that going for them. They had a close relationship with God. But, you know, there was just one thing which they felt perhaps God wanted to withhold, knowledge. Wanted to withhold something which they couldn't explain, and they just wanted to try it out. I think that's sometimes what happens to us. We overlook, just the things which God is already bestowing onto us, and we feel that we need to strive. We haven't got what is truly meant for us. We have an attitude of entitlement instead. So gratitude, I mean, staying alive, being healthy, having a family, love, jobs, career, those are all good things. But ultimately, we all know that gratitude is directed to a person, and that person is Jesus. And being a Christian myself for coming up to 10 years, I feel that if I was honest, personally, my gratitude and my thanksgiving towards what Jesus has done for me on the cross sometimes is diluted by the things of the world. And I have to stop myself and pray and ask, God, where is that joy of the salvation that you have given me? And I feel ashamed to say that the joy that I felt in the first few years of coming to Christ was just inexpressible. And over the years, I've taken it for granted. And I just feel in 2020, it's just something that I need to do, and perhaps you need to do. And it's just to really pray and go back to that original position of gratitude of what Jesus has done. And I think it's a good reminder every time we pray, every time we read the Bible, we express this thanksgiving. And the Bible clearly also instructs us, especially in Colossians. In Colossians 3, verses 15 to 17, it actually talks about thanksgiving three times. It says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And of course, Thessalonians 5:18 also says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So that's the first one, gratitude, which is not a downward comparison, but it's a gratitude towards someone or some person, and that person being Jesus. I think the second one is satisfaction with our lot. It sounds a lot like gratitude, but I feel that satisfaction with our lot is slightly different from gratitude. In fact, satisfaction with our lot, it feels slightly more earthly, but I think it's a call to realize the limitations of our earthly treasures or the earthly matters, and perhaps even a call to be generous. So I was looking at Time magazine, and the secular world, there's an article that talks about keeping the five ways to increase life satisfaction or to be satisfied with life. So the five things are, the first one is interesting, it's friends. Well, that's obvious. And it says how it does, it says, in fact, having a better social life can be worth as much as an additional $130,000 a year in terms of life satisfaction. Now, I don't know how about they came about this number, but that equates to around 1 million Hong Kong dollars a year. So having friends is equivalent to you having an additional 1 million Hong Kong dollars a year. And the second one is have goals. And third one is have a life story. And the fourth one is actually saying money isn't the answer, which is oddly true. And the fifth one is keep growing, and I think it just means keep learning. So this is the secular way of thinking. It's not too far off. I think having a life story is about having a testimony. And if we put it in the spiritual context, I think some of this can ring true. And I think the feeling or the concept of being satisfied with our lot is actually quite biblical. In Ecclesiastes, for example, in Ecclesiastes 5:18, it says, here is what I've seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink, and to enjoy the good of all his labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life, which God has given. For this is his lot. And then I think the most instructive verse is actually in 1 Timothy. And I think 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 to 12. This is a verse which I read over and over again for myself because I struggle with this the most. But I find this the most instructive and the most reflective as well. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. And I feel godliness with contentment is great gain. It's such a powerful verse. I mean, it's not just enough to be holy, but to be content. And it says, to be holy and to be content is great gain. And I would say it's powerful. If we can learn not just to be holy, but to be content with the lot that God has given us in our life. And it says, goes on to say, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. It's somewhat counterintuitive, but I remember saying to myself and saying to a friend when we were talking about struggling with just being content with what we have. And I said, actually, I've learned a small secret, and it's very counterintuitive. I said, if we really want to rid ourselves of kind of dissatisfaction and just feeling that, you know, our lot is not sufficient for us, we need to give. We need to start giving resources, we need to start giving our time. Most importantly, if you can afford to, you need to give money. In fact, even when you can't afford to, there's something powerful about giving away something that is a sacrifice to you from a financial point of view. And I think giving away money, you know, besides tithing, I think giving in addition to your tithe or just giving generously is what God really wants you to have. And I think that ties and it goes hand in hand with just being satisfied with our lot. We're saying that, you know, what we have is not just enough. It's more than enough. You know, and God said, you know, he came to give us life and abundance. And we do have abundance. Most of us in Hong Kong, we do have abundance. And generosity is actually preached in the Bible more than any other topic. You know, it is clear that God talks a lot about money in the Bible. And, you know, I think it's true that we don't talk about things that we don't care about. And if God talks about it in the Bible all the time, it must mean that he cares about this issue and this topic deeply. So just some statistics. 16 of the 38 parables were concerned with how to handle money and possessions. 16 out of 38 parables that Jesus gave. And in the Gospels, 1 out of 10 verses deals directly with the subject of money. The Bible offers 500 verses on prayer, less than 500 verses on faith, but more than 2,000 verses on money and possessions. So it's really undeniable that management of resources, money, generosity is really at the core of the Christian faith. And actually, finally, the third one is keeping God's commandments. I think it sounds very obvious that Christians, we should be reminded about keeping God's commandments. But I think something as simple as keeping God's commandments is something we should all be striving for more and more in 2020. And I think more specifically, besides generally keeping God's commandments, I think we should be also asking ourselves, what are the secret sins in our lives? What are the sins that we are permitting ourselves to keep doing and thinking that these are not so important? In Matthew 7, verses 21 to 23, the most scary verse for me, actually, in the Bible, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wondrous works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" I think keeping God's commandments is not just about being holy and being pure, but it's really seeking out the will of God. Actively seeking out the will of God. And again, I say it's as much as a reminder for me as I was thinking about this and reflecting on this. It's how often do I really actively seek out the will of God in my daily routine, in my daily thoughts, in my work? How often do I take a moment out of the day just to pray a quick prayer under my breath, just to recalibrate, realign myself again? It doesn't take much time, but it takes intentional effort just to take out a few seconds even out of the routine that we go through to recalibrate, realign ourselves with the Holy Spirit. In 1 John 2, verses 3 to 6, it says, "Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." Now, I was going through kind of a season of, in 2019, just a season of reflection as well. And, I think dealing with, as I said at the beginning, sins in our lives, secret sins that we harbor, is so important. This is not really a time to go into details, but I remember very, very specifically, I was listening to a pastor at SP, a visiting pastor, and I remember the message that he was giving was along the lines of, why is it that most of us can't hear what God is saying to us? Or why is it that most of us, when we ask God, "God, what do you want from me in my life? Or what do you want me to do?" we don't hear something. And he said, one of the most important reasons is because we ourselves are not prepared to do what God is going to ask us to do. What that means is we're not really in a position, or our hearts are not in the right position to sacrifice what God might be asking us to sacrifice. And he said the most important thing that when you come to the altar of God is to bring a sacrifice. And what can you give God that God doesn't already have? And he said one thing we can give God that he doesn't already have is our willing heart. You know, and some pastors say just your availability. You know, but availability is turning up. But you can turn up, but your heart may not be willing. And I remember myself going to the altar and saying to God, God, I'm willing. I'm ready and I'm willing to hear and I'm willing to do what you're going to say. And as I was reflecting on that at the altar, I was actually petrified because I was thinking, this is it. I am going to do whatever I hear from God, whatever the cost. And I actually heard nothing. I heard nothing for a few weeks. But then after a few weeks passed, I felt the Holy Spirit really speaking to me and actually saying, there are some things in your life you haven't dealt with yet. You know, there are some things you need to cleanse from your life. There are some things you need to stop doing. And some things you need to confess. And I felt that that was exactly what God was trying to say to me. You know, it wasn't that he was angry at me, but he was saying, before you can do what I'm going to ask you to do, you need to sort out your own house, your own spiritual house. And I think that was what I did in 2019. And I feel that is why in 2020, I want to keep continuing to do that. And I wanted to share this because I feel that perhaps some of us in SP, we also feel, you know, that everything's going fine and we're looking forward. We're looking and asking God about what 2020 will have, but we are not asking ourselves, you know, what are the things that we need to sort out. We need to confess in order to keep God's commandments. So that's really the message for today. Let me close us in a time of prayer. Father God, Lord, I would just humble ourselves. Lord, I humble myself, God, and I just ask that as we come to a close in the year of 2019, Lord, we stop looking at the external things. We stop looking outwardly, and we start looking more inwardly. Most importantly, we look inwardly and we look upwardly in gratitude towards what you have done for us, God. What you have planned for us before we were even born, you already had a plan for our salvation. We can't do anything which hasn't been done before, and everything can be quite meaningless. But when we know that we have Jesus, and when our hearts are towards Jesus, we know that everything that we do now, from now on, can be new. And we pray that we will also be satisfied with the lot and the boundaries that you have drawn for us in our lives. We can give back with thanksgiving because we know that whatever you give us not just that it's enough, but you always give us in abundance, Lord. And Lord, we just also pray that your Holy Spirit will just work in our hearts, work in our minds, just to show us how we can be more faithful to your commandments, how we can deal with the secret sins in our lives, but also how we can keep doing your will, God. And we can keep praying in our everyday life to do your will and to bring your kingdom onto this earth. Lord, we thank you and we love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross is spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body that began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ. I smile every. Oh, Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Amen. Let's go into a time of community prayer. Let's pray for the members and our loved ones who are suffering from cancer. Those going through chemo and radiation therapy. Just want to lift them up and to rebuke the cancer. Also want to pray for those of us who are suffering from illnesses. We pray for a chance and an opening and a window for us to also preach the gospel to those who are suffering from those illnesses. Let's also pray and lift up those who are suffering from infirmities. And also those of us who are looking for jobs, maybe in Hong Kong or elsewhere, we pray for those looking for jobs and for God to open doors. As we turn to SP, our mission focus, let's pray for North Korea and for open doors for ministry into North Korea. This has been on the heart for a long time and a prayer item for a long time. So we just pray, especially that 2020 will open the door for ministry in North Korea and other missional opportunities as well and partnerships in Asia. We just pray for the Lord to lead us individually and as a body just to bring us to new places in Asia to plant churches. We also pray for the persecuted churches in the Middle East. And we also pray for protection for the churches in China. We pray for SP weekend gatherings. There's PMC, there's prison outreach, drug rehab outreach, the migrant workers outreach, the Sunday services. Pray for SP kids, pray for the worship, the hospitality, SP youth, spin and spill services and activities. Pray for those attending the Word Bible study, just to really receive the rich knowledge that will flow through in the classes, for the Word of God to be firmly implanted in their minds and in their souls. We also pray for all the other meetings that are happening this weekend. We also just want to pray for Alpha. Alpha is starting a new season on the 1st of February in 2020. We just want to pray that there will be volunteers, first of all, but also an influx of guests coming into SP, coming from all places, from the workplace, from families, friends. We just pray that these guests will be blessed in this time of Alpha. Putting aside, you know, whether they will come to faith or not, we just pray that Alpha will be the start of their journey to really help them build their understanding of who Jesus is, and to really clarify myths, and to poke through any of the lies that they've been told. So we pray for the volunteers and for the guests. We also pray logistics and protection over the planning towards Alpha. We pray that we pray against the enemy schemes, and we just pray and ask for a hedge of protection over the sanctuary, especially during the time of Alpha. We pray that disruptions and really the enemy's agents will not be allowed in this sanctuary, that people will have clarity of mind as they speak and as they share and as they lead the groups. And during the videos, we pray for alertness in the spirits of the guests to really receive the message of the videos. I pray for Hong Kong. We pray for Hong Kong as we come to the end of the year. We pray for peace. We just pray for that shalom wholeness to fill the hearts of the people in Hong Kong. To pray for those who have been injured, not just physically, but also emotionally, mentally. We pray for their emotional and spiritual health, God. We just ask, God, that you bring healing into this land. You bring healing into the people who have been witnessing, the people who have been, in the streets as well. We just pray, Lord, that you will heal our hearts. You will heal our minds, God. And we also pray and continue to fight in the spiritual realm, Lord. We just pray that the enemy's attacks on this land will leave in the name of Jesus. And we just want to unite as well. And remember in our prayer of fasting this season that we fight a spiritual battle. And in the spiritual realm, as we pray and fast, we pray that this will strengthen this spiritual battle that we face in our lives and in Hong Kong. So we pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.